This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 5th day of July 2011, and today I'm joined on the line by Mahdi Darius Nazamroya, the Global Research Associate, who is now on a trip to Tripoli. He is in Tripoli right now, reporting from Libya about what's happening in that country as we speak. So, Mahdi, it's great to have you back on the program. Please tell us what's going on.
Okay. They've been bombing sites that have nothing whatsoever to do with military facilities, combat, or command and control. They've been bombing granaries, food storage places, hospitals. People from around the world have seen it. I've spoken to foreign nationals who've been living here for business reasons or for family reasons, or just like Libya generally. A fellow Canadian was telling me it was hell. They bombed everywhere, residential areas. They've been bombing for no reason. I spoke to an Italian lady the other day. She was telling me she used to believe everything the media said until she started living what the media was saying and contradicted reality. She was disgusted. I've spoken to people from all over the world who've been living here. They're in shock because they cannot bring the media fabrications to terms with reality here. And I can tell you right now, I was in Tripoli on Friday with a vast group of foreign journalists from all over the world, Britain, France, the United States, Russia, Japan, China, and the Washington Post, BBC, all of them lied about the event. Over a million people, roughly, the government says about 2 million people, were there, and they said nothing about it. And all these people were there freely. No one forced anybody to come. The next day, the BBC reported, because a lot of these people came out of town to show their support for the government and for Libya and to show they're against this war of aggression by NATO. So a lot of them slept there during the night, and they left in the morning. And BBC reported that they're fleeing Tripoli. They slept, and they were leaving. These are the type of lies you hear. I've been here with the foreign reporters, and they are concocting stories. I'm a witness to this. You have journalists who haven't left the premises here at the Rexas El Nasser Hotel, formerly Turkish, soon to be Swiss. The government's nationalized it for right now. I'm at the Rexas El Nasser Hotel, which is where the official spokesman of the government is. And the media coordination for Tripoli is based here. And there are reporters here that are concocting wild stories and accusations. The other day, I saw a report from CNN by Sarah Snyder, I believe her name is. I'm just going to double-check her name. Sarah Sidner, from New Delhi. She was talking about rape in Misrata. That didn't happen. The tape she showed, she should do some research on the video she's showing and CNN's showing. That was in a domestic event that happened months before this conflict in Tripoli. The accent of the person wasn't even an accent from that area of Libya. It was from Tripoli, and they knew each other. It was a rape, it was abuse, but it was not soldiers raping a woman, okay? It was totally spun. These accusations of rape are false. They're using depleted uranium here. A group of scientists working at the Nuclear Energy Institute of Libya confirmed this. They're going to come out with a report in English, Arabic, and various other languages showing that depleted uranium has been used. I've also contacted some scientists abroad who might be involved in this project. War crimes and crimes against humanity are going on against this country. And there's daily flights to God knows where in the south, in Fezzan, from here. I've seen the jets. They've been bombing residential areas. The war crimes are going on here, and the media has been a party to this war.
Well, tell us about that rally, because we did see some of the images only broadcast on the internet, of course. We didn't see them on CNN or anywhere else, but that just looked like an incredible mass of people. Were you actually in the rally? What was the mood of people there?
Yes, I was at the rally. I actually was interviewed by Telesur. I took pictures even of some of the Italian journalists there, and I was on the rooftop, and let me tell you something. No one forced those people to come, and when I left, and I will show these photos. They'll be published. When I left, there were still people coming from the mountains, which they say are against the government. Not true, because I met people coming from there. The majority of them are not. There were still tribes that were coming, and I personally believe there was over a million, easily over a million people there, and they had flags, green flags, and no one forced these people to come. And you know what? They all have weapons. There is a civil defense policy that has been initiated here. Every house in Tripoli is armed. They're waiting in case there's an invasion. If these people were against Gaddafi, they wouldn't have arms. They would be fighting him. So the media has totally lied. It has totally violated its responsibility to inform the public about the truth. Tripoli is a beautiful city, and what astonishes me about what's going on here is that the people here are trying to live regular, normal lives. They're trying to live, function as they would without the war, and I admire them for that. I watch them they're trying to live normal lives. Now, this war has affected businesses, foreigners, schools, children's vital supplies. It's a criminal act. One of the first places they bombed was one of the facilities that makes Libyan dinars. What does that have to do with saving civilians? And now we hear that the French have openly admitted they're arming forces against the government in this insurgency. Well, they might have admitted it now, but we knew they were doing this earlier. Now Qatar is talking about it. Some people are shocked, but Qatar said this in March, in April. People should wake up. They've been saying we're arming them from the beginning. The Wall Street Journal, Reuters, they all reported that that weapons were coming in. The U.S. was supplying weapons into Egypt. The Emir of Qatar was talking to Wolf Blitzer, I believe, on CNN. He was on CNN. He admitted it openly. Al Jazeera brought it up a few days later with Secretary General of NATO. This is a breach of international law. The arms, the ATT, which is the Convention for Selling Weapons. It's a breach of that, and it's a breach of the U.S. Security Council resolutions. They have to be held accountable for this, and there should be Nuremberg-style trials in the future about the atrocities that are happening in Libya at the hands of NATO and their proxies on the ground here.
So what are the sense of the people there that an invasion is likely? Are people prepared for that concept? We've got Debka file now reporting that there's an invasion slotted for 2 weeks hence, and we've also had sources from Fort Hood saying that there's likely to be troops on the ground by October. What are the people on the ground there saying and thinking about the possibility of a NATO invasion?
Well, I have news that reached Tripoli from Capitol Hill that congressmen are talking about ending this week. On the ground. And as you probably know, and a lot of your viewers and listeners know, Senator McCain and a core of American politicians were for boots on the ground from the beginning. NATO has not ruled that out either. The Supreme Commander of NATO, who's a U.S. admiral, has also confirmed that that's a possibility. He calls it a stabilization mission. These were all said at the beginning. These are not new things that are going to happen. Now, the people's mood. The people will fight. I guarantee you, seeing them, talking to them, they are ready. They will fight. Every single house in Tripoli and the district around it will be turned into a barrack. NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, would have to be fools to invade this country. That's why they haven't done it now. They would have to be fools, and I think we're going to see the graveyard of NATO if they enter this country. It's going to be the beginning of the end for this this terrible military alliance that's purely aggressive, not defensive whatsoever. Yugoslavia, Afghanistan, good riddance to garbage. But every single person in this country, women, child, man, they're ready. They're armed and they're ready. They have neighborhood defense organizations. They've been armed. That was not a threat. They've been armed. And they're waiting in case there is an invasion. Now, I'm not going to speculate whether the invasion is going to happen or not, but I will tell you, if it does happen, it's going to be a huge mistake.
Well, last time we talked, you were talking about how Syria might be next on the chopping block, and it seemed like this was something that was going to carry on with some momentum, but it sounds like you've changed your mind, and you think that this will actually be the final resistance.
No, I haven't changed my mind. I think Syria still in the crosshairs. I just think the means by which they'll do this to Syria and Lebanon is going to be different. It won't be a direct invasion. They have a whole toolbox of aggressive methods that they use against countries. It could be low-spectrum warfare, narcotics, color revolutions. Syria is a full ally of Iran. It's a staunch strategic ally of Iran. If they go to war with Syria, you're going to see Iranian intervention because of the military mutual defense pact both these countries have. Tehran will come to Damascus's aid. I guarantee that. I've spoken to people here who come from that part of the world, and they're saying the same things on the same lines that I'm saying. You'll also see other players get involved in this war. Russia has bases there. The Chinese have interests. This is why they didn't agree with any movements against Syria. You won't see an invasion of Syria yet. That in the future, that might happen. But if that happens, it's going to be a broader war that will involve Tehran and other countries. It will go right from the Eastern Mediterranean, involve Lebanon and Jordan, all the way to the Chinese border. That's what's going to happen. A major war would break out if they invade Syria. This is why we see the Turks. The Turks are a major player in this. The military bases that NATO has there are being transformed. Now you're seeing NATO troops being transferred from Spain and Germany to Turkey. Turkey will play a much more active role in NATO's military roadmap in the Middle East, and those bases can be used against Iran and Armenia as well. Armenia is an Iranian and Russian ally, and it's a part of the Collective Security Treaty Organization. And this will obviously have ramifications for the relations between Georgia and Russia, and Russia will be a target eventually as well with its former Soviet allies. So the picture does not look good in the long term. Right now, color revolution is what they're going for in Syria, and they're supplying weapons and funding to opposition groups. But I don't think we'll see a military intervention yet. And despite what Senator Lieberman and his colleagues say about invading Syria and Iran, just like Libya, we'll see. What happens in Libya is a measuring stick for what's going to happen in Syria, Iran. So if they're successful here, we can see them turning their heads there. But they're not near any type of success here in regards to the western part of the country. They have managed, albeit, to divide the country. But I'll tell you, in the east, most of the fighters are not Libyans. Most of the fighters have been brought in. Even before I came, my trip was delayed because the highway from Djerba in Tunisia, which is the main city on the frontier, the highway was closed off for a while because about 160 foreign fighters were brought in by sea. They were brought in by sea. There's no way they came by land. It was NATO that brought them there. They were there, and all they were there was for destabilization, and they cut off the road for a while. And on the way, there was at least 50 checkpoints on the way to Tripoli, and the people who manned these were volunteers, old people, young people, people of various walks of life. This is a resistance of the Libyan people against NATO, and I'm sorry to say some of the Libyan people have been hoodwinked by NATO and the media, and they're turning against their brothers and sisters. And that this has been a poison in Libya, and the Arabic term for it is fitna, division, which we can call in strategic terms balkanization. Yes, they've divided this country, but the East, this is not an East-West thing, but the forces in the East are a minority. And I can tell you that with full confidence.
Well, we've heard in the alternative media, obviously not in the mainstream press in North America, but in the alternative media, there's been reports of the atrocities that are being committed by the so-called rebel troops and forces, primarily against the black population in Libya. What have you seen on the ground of evidence of that kind of atrocity going on?
Well, not just on the ground. I've seen video footage before I entered the country about that, documented that's been happening. That has been happening. Yes, Libyans of black skin have been scapegoated. They've been attacked. Yes, it has to do with some historical differences as well. And it has to do with the groupthink process and the media manipulation. They were used as an excuse. We had media lies about mercenaries, which they unfortunately demonized in a racist way, black Libyans. We had the aerial attacks, the false jet attacks on civilians. We had these stories concocted which caused this. As far as rape, the rape that I know about is the rape being committed by rebel forces. I don't know to what degree, but they are committing rape. I've heard of no rape from the Libyan military, which the West and the media and the Pentagon and Hillary Clinton called pro-Gaddafi forces. This is political language. They're calling the official military of Libya, which they should call the Libyan military, pro-Gaddafi forces. No, that's political language. Now, they might have committed rape. This is a possibility, okay? But it's not a massive thing, and I doubt they've done it. I doubt there's been any rape by Gaddafi forces. But I know that there's been rape by the other side, because there's been a conference that was held here last weekend. Like, women who were raped on the other side of Libya came forward and were talking about it. And no one is forcing anybody to do this. Anybody who visits Libya will see that this country is... It's kind of a free-for-all in certain ways. No one forces people to do anything. There's all these alliances. People are part of tribes. No. The rape that's being talked about is a means to continue the war and to justify it. And one of the women who brought it up in Tunisia was talking to refugees, couldn't even cite anything to the ICC. There's no proof about any of this stuff. They didn't cite anything. They're just saying 10,000 people told me, this many people told me. There's no names, no numbers, no... This is a justice. It's a mockery of rationality. People have to look into these things. And the ICC is being used as... Frankly, the ICC is a political tool, just like the United Nations Security Council. Both of them are political tools being used to crush nations that oppose the United States, Britain, France, Germany, and their agenda for the Mediterranean and the rest of the world.
All right, well, you've mentioned that you're going to have photographs from that rally that'll be coming out, and you've also mentioned the report on the scientific findings about depleted uranium weapons that have been used in Libya. What else can we look forward to coming out from your reporting from the area?
For now, that's what I'm going to put forward. I'm working on that. I have some logistical things I need to clear up here. I've taken a lot of pictures of different sites here, and I'm going to come forward with them. I've been watching the media here, and I'm astonished at the level of lies they can actually come up with. The Reuters reporter was actually kicked out of here because he lied. It's very clear. He didn't leave this hotel. Saying he met with Libyan resistance or opposition in Tripoli, he didn't leave this hotel. He wrote about that, and he said it's a good sign. It's like it's a good sign, a sign of hope. He didn't leave this hotel whatsoever. He stayed in his room the whole time or went to the press releases. He's saying he met with opposition. They kicked him out. They waited on it, and then they kicked him out because the reporting he was making was absurd.
Do you know the name of that reporter?
It's Nicholas something. I don't know him off, I don't know it offhand. It's Nicholas something. Reuters reporter Tripoli. You can look it up. You can find out. He didn't leave Tripoli, and he wrote about meeting with opposition leaders. There's no opposition leaders in Tripoli. They're not a majority here at all. Like, it's ridiculous. If we're talking about democracy, if we talk about democracy, we can't ignore that rally. That was over a million people there. Okay? And the way I actually got the count was I looked at blotches because I was on the rooftop. And this is not accurate. I'm not saying it's a scientific, it's my personal estimate. There was over 10,000 people. That's what the Washington Post reported, which was totally wrong. That was false. I counted the blotches, okay? And based on how many blotches there was, I made units. And then I got that estimate. And that's before everybody even came. I left earlier than everybody else. And what they are saying is ridiculous. There was no reports about it in a lot of the press. There was French reporters here. I didn't hear anything about it in France. My colleague didn't hear anything about it in France. Some places talked about it for 2 seconds, and they just casually passed it by. You're saying Gaddafi is not loved by his people. Okay, well, why are a million and a half people out of a country of 6 to 6.4 million people there? You do the math, and you see these people are upset. They feel voiceless. You know, the Libyans aren't organized. I'll be the first to admit that. This country is not heaven. There's problems. But there are some people There are some people that go all over the world and they take advantage of these discontents. That's all they do. And some people on the other side think if Gaddafi's gone, this place will be like Hollywood. And I guarantee you, based on historical cross-referencing of countries invaded by NATO, living standards always fall when the United States, Britain, and NATO get involved. This country will not turn into Hollywood. There's this concept of the American dream and the rest of the world. It's total fallacy. The United States doesn't even live the American dream. They show on television majority of actors or people on the TV show are professionals. That's not reality. The majority of people don't drive nice cars. Poverty is so high in the United States. Anybody who's visited it, anybody who's has some elementary knowledge of the United States and has been there on the ground knows that's not true at all. And some of the young people think that this place might end up like the United States, but there's some. I'm saying they exist, but there's some. They are not a majority. They are not a majority whatsoever. And anybody who's come to this country, who opposes Gaddafi or not, who opposes him and his sons, such as Saif al-Islam and his family or not, will tell you that this stuff is ridiculous. I've spoken to people who are their opponents who don't even agree with what the media is saying or what the opposition is saying. I was present when a boat came from Benghazi. The boat was filled with 100 plus. They were over 100, 160 people. This is a small country. Benghazi is a smaller city. They came over. That's significant. They all came to be back here. They had green flags. Some people also went to Benghazi. That was a very small number. The Red Crescent and Red Cross organized this. This stuff says something. Why isn't the media reporting about this? Very simple. Journalists are being used as a weapon against the Libyan people and Libya. If the Prophet Jesus or Gandhi or Moses or whoever you believe or Prophet Muhammad was the leader of this country, they would make him look like saint. You don't need to believe in any faith. I'm just using this as an example. They would make that person running this country look like Hitler or the devil or whatever you want to call him. It's not about Gaddafi. It's about breaking this country. He has so much support in the continent of Africa. It's unbelievable. And because of this war, there's famine in other parts of Africa. Because Libya has been part of a robust project to develop the rest of Africa. And because they froze Libya's funds in these sanctions, tens of thousands of people have become unemployed in the rest of Africa. Agricultural projects have been abandoned. Development projects have been abandoned. This has already hurt the rest of Africa and African unity. I spoke to the director for their foreign investments, which is basically based mostly in Africa. And he's also their minister of cooperation, international cooperation, I believe. I was there with a group, and we spoke to him, and he made it very clear the United States and its EU partners and allies were not happy about what was going on because it conflicted with their interests. They want Africa to be a country where they can take the raw resources, develop them, do something, manufacture them, and sell them back for a higher price. They don't want Africa to develop, and this is part of the picture of what's going on here. This war is not humanitarian. This war is not about saving lives. It's killing people. They're killing civilians. They're bombing residential areas. The Libyan military's structure has been destroyed. Okay, the people that are fighting now are mostly civilians and volunteers. There is basically very little left of the Libyan military. It was never about the Libyan military. And any honest person knows that.
All right, well, how about the time frame for how long you'll continue to be in the country? What are you thinking for in terms of your reporting?
I believe that I will be here approximately another month. I was originally going to stay in Tunis longer. I was in Tunis before I came here for a few days. I wanted to do some sociological research work there, survey work. I was going to work through the Carleton University to do this. That has to be put on hold because I'm going to spend more time in Libya. Hopefully, I will be able to go to Tunis. And since I am bringing up Tunis, I'd like to mention that I also saw the refugee camps in Tunis, which had Libyans, migrant workers, people from the rest of Africa. And these camps in these places had barbed wires, armed guards, military personnel. And do you know which countries we're looking after? The same countries helping bomb this country. The United Arab Emirates. Qatar. And I've been told that they are trying to recruit people there to infiltrate this country and to wage war from the West against this country. And as we can tell, there are small forces in the West giving the Libyan government and the Libyan military a problem in the Western mountains. So this is what they're doing. They're not there to help people. This is a PR stunt, and this is part of the strategy against this country. Tunis and Egypt, before the war was started, even had agreements with Hillary Clinton and visited both countries to secure their cooperation against Libya. This is why weapons are coming in from Egypt to the east, and Tunis has been part of this project. The government's been covertly helping NATO, and the British have even talked about sending troops there as part of a humanitarian mission on the border with Libya. They've cut this country off. They're refusing to send money to this country because, as I said earlier, one of the first places they bombed was the printing press for Libyan dinars, money. So this war has to do with currency and has to do with economic objectives and with breaking the economy. They bombed that. The other place money is made for Libya, and I told the Libyans it's a big mistake to do this, you should be self-sufficient for producing your own money, was Britain. The United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland is the other place that Libyan currency is produced in. And they had agreements for money to come before the sanctions. So what the British have done is illegal. They have to send the money. They can't send anything after the sanctions, but they've been withholding the money in an effort to squeeze the Libyan economy and the Libyan government and to make a currency shortage in this country.
So you've been meeting with members of the government in Libya, is that correct?
I've been meeting with people from all over the world, and I've met with the government spokesman. I've met with the deputy prime minister, for example. I've met with the NGO, which is very important. The NGO, the fact-finding NGO, I'm sorry, I think I have a call from California, but I've been meeting with the Libyan NGO, which is responsible for the fact-finding commission. And I'm going to help them bring some parliamentarians here that I know from abroad to come see what's happening on the ground.
Parliamentarians as in from Canada?
Yes, as in from Canada. So this might be a big surprise. We'll see if it happens. I've had very positive responses. Although I have to say I'm very upset with the parliament in Canada. As you know, the vote in Canada was almost unanimous except for the Green Party's leader, Elizabeth May, the sole member of the Green Party in Parliament. Everybody voted for the war. The New Democrats did, the Bloc, the Liberals, the Conservatives. But still, they should come on the ground, see for themselves. I'm not saying that politicians are not politicians. I'm actually very pessimistic when it comes to politicians. But coming on the ground in itself is something.
Well, I'm sure you're aware Canada's Foreign Minister John Baird made his first trip as Foreign Minister to Benghazi to meet with the rebel opposition party.
Yes, I'm aware of that. And on a personal note, I have no respect for him whatsoever or his or that type of politicking. I'm aware he came. I think it's unfortunate. I think that Parliament of Canada made a very bad decision. A very ignorant position, and it's inexcusable to support a war without knowing anything about it. Nobody knew the facts about this war. And, well, no, actually, I take that back. Governments knew the facts about this war. They had the satellite imaging to know that planes weren't bombing civilians. NATO knew the facts. They all know. They're liars. Plain and simple. They're all liars. Now, as far as parliamentarians are concerned, it's a little different, but I'm not here as an apologist for them. I think what they did is wrong. I don't respect it, but I think they should still come on the ground, and hopefully some minds will be changed. Some minds.
Well, I very much look forward to seeing that. I think that would be positive, even if there's not much that comes from it, but it would still be a positive step. All right. Well, anything else that you want to report from Tripoli tonight?
I just want to say that I'm astonished by the Libyan people living under bombardment. I said it before, but it's something you don't know until you see yourself. These people are trying to live normal lives and respectful lives despite the fact that their country is being bombed. And it's brought the country together. Maybe Gaddafi was not popular before this war. Maybe. I wasn't here. And a lot of people I knew didn't say good things about it. This has brought the country together. It's unified the majority of the people. When I say majority, that means the majority. Okay, I'm not saying everybody. The majority of people have been unified. They do need to clean house. But I'm telling you right now, NATO brings its troops here. These people are going to fight. Maybe NATO will sweep through, maybe not. But these people will fight with everything they have.
All right, very interesting, and I very much look forward to your future reports, and I hope that we can keep in touch during your time in Tripoli. So once again, thank you so much for your time today, Mahdi Nazemroya.
Thank you, James. Thanks for. I know it took a long time to reach you and reach me, but internet's on off, and there's a war going on.
Certainly understandable. Well, we look forward to your future updates. Thank you again.
Thank you.